welcome back to We Bombastic View Season 4, Episode 13, the Easter Special. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Wow, with a promise that we actually held our own to.
Went through it. Yay.
We've
done it, folks. This makes up for all the previous promises that did not come through.
Sure.
With me, I've got two other fine gentlemen. Who's here?
My name is Dr. Doofenshmirtz.
But you can just Dr. Lindsay. Doofenshmirtz, for joining. What innator will you be displaying today?
The Easter 51st episode innator.
Ha! And what does it do? And what's your tragic backstory for having made it?
It entertains people for roughly an hour. And my tragic backstory for causing it is that of all the promises that specifically Daniel made to listeners, really caused me some inner turmoil, so I had to go on and make this innator.
We got some real dynamic characters today. Who else do we have?
I'm Daniel. But all right. not Promise Breaker Daniel. That's a different Daniel.
That's the old Daniel.
yeah, you're looking at a new and improved Daniel.
I miss the old Daniel. Straight out
the one that would promise me things that I never got. I think we talked about doing an Easter special, like it's season two, even maybe.
Nope, didn't happen. So, we didn't promise that.
Can't imagine.
Yeah, no, didn't happen. Because either way, though, it's happening now. Be grateful. So, hypothetical, because what's a podcast without a hypothetical? And Easter riddles. Bombastic word for the day, exsanguination, the act of draining a person's blood. And you might be thinking, oh, how does that relate to Easter? It's egg, it's spelled E-G-G, sanguination, the rest.
Can't confirm.
Yeah.
The common everyday bunny is actually a descendant from the vampire bloodline.
Talking about vampires, and they use this word in the movie, Morbius. Terrible movie. Don't watch it. Save your money. Anyway, so I got a question for you guys. If I paid you $15 million on one, but there's a condition. You have to keep 1 foot on a skateboard for one entire year. Are you going
to
do it?
Okay, so do you have to, like, does it have to be a full skateboard or just the board?
It has to have wheels.
Has to have wheels. Can I add anything to the skateboard?
What do you mean?
Like,
or like, what do you have in mind?
Like, what if I, like, put something around the wheels that make the outside of it square so they don't roll? Like, can I add things to...
Can you, like, put the skateboard with your foot on it, like, in a box or something?
Sure. Something to keep it, like... Something to keep it still rather than rolling around.
I guess.
Okay. I'd say you could do that. Is it a standard skateboard, or is it a, like, tech deck?
It is not a tech deck.
Okay.
it's a
you may not use the tech bag. Yeah. Honestly, I think a ripstick would be allowed, but it is a...
I think a ripstick would be more difficult. Skateboard. I think a ripstick...
Yeah. But it'd be more fun.
I don't know about that.
Am I allowed to put the other foot on the skateboard?
Yes. But if at any point the like, you cannot swap foots, it is like you choose your left or right foot, and if at any point that foot leaves the skateboard, null and void.
Okay, I think this might be my last question. But like, say, like, I start using it actually like a skateboard, and like there's just one half second that both feet are like adjusting, but I'm still technically using it as my mode of transportation. Like, does that count?
If the foot you have chosen as your skateboard foot at any point has no contact with the skateboard, you are disqualified.
Okay. I have another question. Does a skateboard need to be in perfect condition when I, like, return? Because, like, what if I need to shower and it gets all rusty?
I'd be confused at why you chose an iron skateboard, but no, I suppose that's fine.
There's... Like, okay. Sure, why not? I'll at least go for it. There's no, like, reason to not try, right?
Well, because, like, let's say you... It's basically a question of do you think you could do it, because I'm not wasting 6 months of my life only to one day forget or something and just take my foot off the skateboard.
Oh, I could definitely do it. Freaking duct tape one of your shoes to it. Just don't take that shoe off.
Yeah, but the what if the duct tape fails?
You just can, like, you, like, every so often reapply duct tape.
You also have a bungee cord.
I think in preparation, I would get a special shoe that was designed, that was like, I don't know, carbon fiber or something, and then bolt that shoe to the skateboard and then like secure my foot inside that thing.
Yeah.
Honestly, I'm thinking about it. Do you think it's bad for you to wear like a shoe that you have not, and presumably a sock, like inside a shoe that you have never, or you don't take off for a year?
Oh, it would definitely be horrible. Maybe you do that with a sandal though. Like, as I'm not, ooh, I am not like, I'm not one to back like open-toed shoes. I think very rarely they even look good on someone, much less like efficiency and effectiveness. But like, maybe that one you could still clean your feet and trim your toenails, and so it doesn't get absolutely horrific down there over the year.
Do you think you would get better at skateboarding during the time, or absolutely do you think you not would be too afraid to mess up? And so
no, you
would
absolutely
just
would not be able to
it
skateboard. You won't be able to use it like a skateboard.
The first time you mess it up, you lose.
Well, but like I'm assuming it's bolted. Like,
no, you won't be able.
Your foot is secured.
You will not be able to skateboard properly with your foot being stuck.
Maybe
in one
you invent
position
a new style of skateboarding then.
Okay, yeah. What if you could like insert like a rotating disc where your foot's at? Maybe then.
Your shoe is able to like you're able to like pivot.
Yeah.
Like the shoe's attached to the skateboard, but then before it makes it to your foot, there's like a pivot point that you can use.
Yeah, you know what? I wouldn't use sandals. I would use Crocs.
Doesn't feel like the way to
but
go.
But then you can't really like do hygiene stuff, really.
Hygiene
well
stuff.
Well, I mean,
honestly, no. I do think Crocs would provide very good hygiene, just because they have like a lot of ways that you can access your foot with water and whatnot.
Yeah, the most important hygiene.
All right, I might be on team Crocs.
Yeah, like you won't be able to cut your nails, but if you really like, let's say they get so long, it's just push against the edge of the croc and it's painful. You just like cut a hole.
I think it would literally just pierce through the croc, and you would have like
it would cause you discomfort before they did that, though.
Yeah.
So you just cut a little hole in the front of the crocs,
okay,
and then, and it's more secure than.
All right, hear me out. Toe crocs, like they have like slots for your toes,
like the like gloves.
Yeah. Like you know those, like, yeah, they make those, like, toe shoes.
Yeah, I've seen them around. So there was a guy on my college campus. They called him No Shoes Phil because he didn't wear shoes anywhere.
Well, why did they call him Phil? What was the Phil?
Yeah, you don't want to know why they called him Phil.
Classified.
But I did, one day he was wearing toed shoes, so.
I will say, like, if I see someone wearing Crocs, I form opinions about them. If I see someone wearing toed shoes, I form opinions about them. If I see someone wearing toed shoe Crocs, I form some very interesting opinions about them.
I don't know if it's forming an opinion. It's just they lose respect from me very quickly.
No, I respect.
That's a form of an opinion.
I don't know.
I respect
that.
Crocs, and they have to open their mouth with the toed shoes. Probably within the first, like, interaction, I'll have an opinion about someone with toed shoes. But I see someone in Krog, I'm like, okay, no, I respect that. That's what it's all about.
If you fall under one of these categories, we do accept you no matter what we say.
Within one interaction, potentially. there, among other things that we accept... So, I was thinking about this the other day. Chicken wings, right?
I think about chicken wings often.
Mm-hmm. Indeed.
I had a dream about chicken wings now that I'm thinking about it.
Tell us about that.
Wait, tell you about it?
Yeah, tell us about the chicken wings.
The biggest thing I remember is that they were so easy to eat. because normally I don't like chicken wings because that like there's just too much work, and specifically like the you got to break them apart, and not boneless, cause, like bone in chicken wings. And in my dream they were like boned chicken wings, and they were so easy to eat, and I was so happy.
I love them.
They are so easy to eat.
Not with bones. They're not fun. I'd so much rather eat boneless.
They're like, occasionally I will get buffalo sauce wings boneless, just because then I can easily like dip it in ranch.
We could totally tell the Buffalo Wild Wing story. Have we ever told that on the podcast, Lindsay?
I don't think so.
I don't think I am a part of this story.
Basically, all right, long story short.
I could use it for mine. I'll interchange mine.
All right, fine.
Continue yours, Daniel.
Okay. Anyways, I was thinking about so you know there's the two style of chicken wings, the one that's like a drumstick, and then the one with like the two bones that run through it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know what you're talking
Wouldn't
about.
Wouldn't that be a leg and not then. A wing? We're talking about...
Well, you know, we'll get there with semantics, actually. Because okay. I was thinking about it, because, like, I have heard people call each of these wings by, like, you know, there's, like, a name for the, like, drumstick ones. There's a name for the two-boned ones. I have them pulled up. And so the wing-looking ones are just called drums, and the two-boned ones are called flats. And when people say that in relation to wings, I know what they're talking about. But I never could have produced those words on my own. So
the drums was the like drumstick, basically.
Yeah. Yeah, and then the flats are the ones you were talking about where you break them apart.
Yeah.
For easy
flats
eating.
Flats is an interesting name.
There was many years where I didn't think to break the flats apart before eating them, and I would just be like trying to eat the meat between the two bones, and I would do.
And
it,
you claimed that they were those easy to do.
I thought you were talking about the drums when you were saying they're hard to eat. I was like, those are what are you? Okay. Anyways,
and there's no meat on flats.
I would disagree.
Like,
I mean, there's some meat.
There is some meat, but not enough to make the, like, it's one of those foods where the effort to get to it is so much that, like, I don't even feel as if I've gained the amount of calories I spent trying to access the food.
Cooked decently, I would disagree, but there are some situations that is true, yes.
But, yeah. Anyways, it's like this little train of thought led to a different train of thought where I was thinking about like people who can understand languages but can't speak them, and I was like, okay, the connection's there. It's just like not knowing what the chicken wings are called. It's the same thing. Yeah, like understanding what drums and flats are when someone says it but not being able to say it yourself, it's exactly the same as someone who can understand, like,
so you're
a foreign language,
me,
but not speak it.
Even in the context of chicken wings, if I were to say a flat, you would have assumed that we were talking about the two-bone wings?
If we were talking about wings, yes.
So I think you're both dancing around the idea of context clues, is the thing. It's like, yes, like, people who can't speak a language fluently can sometimes piece it together what someone's saying out of context clues or like other things that are going on. And same thing with your situation, Daniel. It's like you're putting it together because you only have a few options in front of you, so there are very few contexts that could be talked about. Like,
I would have assumed that we changed subjects and we're talking about apartments in Europe.
Are they called flats?
Yes.
Yes.
I never would have known that.
I don't know if it's all of
Europe, like, wait, why are you talking about,
man, that
would have
been a good
Europe
experiment. I could have brought up apartments and then Europe and then like, or I, yeah, dang, I could, ha, wasted.
I think you guys are both answering on the idea of context clues, which is not that profound.
I think the main difference being that someone who can understand a language, not speak it, it could just be they don't know, like, grammar.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, I could not form a proper sentence, but yeah. I know the vocab.
Yeah. Well, speaking of chicken, and as Brent hinted at, what was it, like a year ago, Brent, you'd say?
Yeah, but just aside, so like your code for mini qualgorithm is BWW. Was that, there's no way that was Buffalo Wild Wings.
No, I'm going to
believe
it
was.
I changed it.
Oh, you did?
Yeah.
I didn't see that. That's so sad.
Yeah, so would you say it was like a year ago? Yeah, so about a year ago, my girlfriend Brent and I all went to Buffalo Wild Wings on a Thursday because Brent recently made us aware that Buffalo Wild Wings has like a buy one get one deal when it comes to wings at Buffalo Wild Wings. And so we went and we were like, okay, we all want leftovers, so let's go with ordering, like, we wanted our end goal to be 60, so we all decide which ones we wanted and we're piecing it together how we're gonna do it. And I think I mainly was talking to the waitress or whatever, but I was saying, okay, I said clearly, we want 60 total. We want this many of this flavor, this many of this flavor, or whatever, before the doubling and after the doubling, to total out to 60.
You're making it very one-sided. I think we did clarify, but it was not that clear.
I recall specifically, she literally like showed me the piece of paper that she was writing down the notes, and I like confirmed it. So like, I feel like it was very much like, from my perspective, I feel like I could not have made it clearer. But obviously there's ways to be confused. That's not, everyone doesn't think the same way as I do, whatever. But so we're chilling, waiting for our wings, and they come out, and we're like, I'm about to start eating. I don't even think about it when they set it down, but they're like, wait a minute, don't eat it.
Well, okay, no, hold on. I want to, so let me tell
you. You just jump in, why not?
Sorry, but like, I just want to like paint the picture, basically. So like, the big thing was like, everyone wanted different flavors, right? Because like, because we were ordering sets of 15, and we didn't want like 30 after the double of like all the same flavor, because we wanted to mix it up. And so like, we picked a bunch of different flavors, and then like, we order them, they bring them out, and like, they set them on the table, and I'm looking at them, and I was like, dang, this is interesting. And then Lindsay goes in. He's like three wings deep.
No, I was not. I didn't even eat one yet. You guys stopped.
No, this is untrue. You absolutely ate at least one, probably two, I think seven. Anyway,
oh my gosh.
And then your girlfriend also was like, had one in hand and was like nibbling on it. And I was looking at it, and I was like, guys, hold on a second. Let's take a step back here. How many wings do you think are on this table? And because they had, it was like three separate trays of wings, like baking pans of wings. Like, yeah, if you go to
like
Buffalo
standard
Wild Wings,
like lunchroom style, like tray,
yeah, yeah,
size.
Yeah, yeah. Exactly. And they're just full of wings. And I'm like, guys, hold on. Like, this doesn't seem like the amount of wings. All right, you may retake.
No, you continue.
Story.
You continue. You clearly want it told a specific way. And
well, no, I just wanted
details
that
incorrectly. So you just go ahead and go for it.
Anyway, and so like, we called the waitress over and we're like, this seems like a lot of wings. And she's like, it's 120. And we're like, we don't want 120. And that's the worst thing at like, I hate doing that at restaurants, because it's like, you know, like the waitress, you don't want the waitress to get in trouble, and it's just awkward. And so like, she calls the manager over, and suddenly it becomes a standoff of, it's like, you guys got 120 wings,
you
and we're like,
a few
but
steps.
We.
Okay, so like,
you may take over.
Well, clearly, you want to tell the story, Lindsay.
Yeah,
you don't
clearly
remember any details, okay, well, improperly.
So, we talked to her. I'm like, hey, like, we didn't order all these wings. Like, what can we do about it? And she was like, let me go talk to my manager. And she comes back and is like, our manager's willing to take off 115 set off the paycheck or off the check. And we're like, that's not okay. Like, we need the manager over here. Like, that's not enough. We didn't order this. We're not paying for it. And then the manager comes over and was like, what do you want us to do? Just throw them all away? Like, you ordered them. Like, we're not making any money off of it initially, and now you just want us to give it to you for free. Like, we're not gonna do that. Like, we don't want it. We don't care what you do with it. You can throw it out. You can do whatever with it. You guys can eat it, whatever. And there's like pretty much like it seemed kind of like storming away almost. Like, whatever, it's fine. And they cleared the check, but now we have like these like what seem like three or four mountains of wings of varying flavors. And to make it all worse, like, we invite another person to come over, like, to Buffalo Wild Wings to help us eat it, just because we know we're not going to be able to handle it. And long story, or like, in like response to that, I no longer desire to have Buffalo Wild Wings ever again, just because of, like, it was just not a pleasant experience.
I have not gone to that place since, like the one in town, and I do not plan to go to there ever again. I'd be willing to go somewhere else, but
the food's not even that stellar though. Like, it's like enjoyable that's the other thing. A group, but it's also pricey. It's like you have to have a decent reason to go in the first place, and I never do. So,
and one of the worst things too. So, like, we each ended up getting 30 plus wings to take home for like leftovers. And the killer thing was the flavor I had ordered, I didn't even like. It was lemon pepper, and it was as if for every individual wing, they put it inside a lemon and then took like pepper grain, whatever those things are that pre-ground, and they like put it in like a centrifuge or something and like left it there for a year in like a hyperbolic chamber. It was so powerful, the flavor on each and every one. It was just like way too much for a wing. And so they weren't even that great. But I had so many of them, and I ate wings every day for like a week after.
Yeah. So the story you should take from this is make sure you know how many wings are going to come to the table before you finish ordering.
Yeah, my biggest beef with wings is every time I go, I I'm usually pretty hungry when I go out for wings, like probably eat 20 wings hungry, but I can never, like, I never have the amount of wings I want in time before the wings are, like, room temperature. Mm. So, like, most of the time going out to wings, it's like, usually if I'm going out to wings, it's because I'm hanging out with people, but, like, if I had a food preference, I would rather not go out for wings because my food always gets cold before I'm done with it. Because, mm-hmm. like you said, it takes some effort and time to get a wing, the meat off a wing.
You just gotta go boneless.
Yeah. Boneless but solves all problems. It's better on the bone.
Untrue.
Not untrue.
Untrue.
This is boneless propaganda, and I won't stand for it.
All team. I was gonna name the team something, but I won't. That team no bone. Put in the comments that you're team no bone.
Interesting.
And well, I'm team bone.
I'm team bone for sure, but more importantly, the bombastic quote is, "You had my attention at hello." And that brings us to the Easter hypothetical. And the hypothetical is, so politics here, politics there, more people wanted to be rich and famous. And so many people made wishes to become more rich to the tooth fairy when they lost their teeth. So instead of money then, they asked just for a communication with the Easter Bunny. Maybe that the Easter Bunny could bring... So the Tooth Fairy has connections with the Easter Bunny. And the Easter Bunny... Because we've all seen the Santa Claus movie, right? So they're this big, like... Not really big, but a closely knit group of... once thought fake creatures and heroes of the modern day. So they made their wishes to the Tooth Fairy in exchange for their teeth. And so many of those wishes piled up that the Easter Bunny was like, fine, I will hide so many more valuable Easter eggs throughout on the world so that more people become rich. So the Easter Bunny now hides 10,000 million dollar eggs each Easter. So how's this going to change the world?
All right. So the 10,000 million dollar eggs, and this is global. So like across on over all of Earth, there is beginning on Easter Day, there is 10,000 million dollar eggs. So first things first. So like clarifying question, I guess, is when does he hide? Like when can they be found on Easter?
So
like is it at 12 a.m. Easter?
Yeah, so everyone is required to be inside of their house or they're disqualified from the game on Easter until, let's say, 7 or 6 a.m. sharp Pacific Standard Time.
Ooh, interesting. Okay. I like it more. Maybe it's just like you didn't believe in the Easter Bunny, and so you like the eggs are still there, but you just can't see them.
Yeah.
And so also like they can be hidden anywhere. Like literally there could be one underneath your bed. Like there are only 10,000. All right. Let's do some math here. Square footage of the globe.
That's what I'm looking up right now. Are we doing just land, do you think?
I was considering what it, there's like one in the Mariana Trench, or like over the years there gets to be like 100 there. If you can get that, you'll be like very rich, but you just need to get there. Let's say land.
They at least start on land. They may be submerged after.
They could roll in there, sure. Yeah.
You know what happens is the housing market will change, or the property development, because it will. Like, it's a lot more valuable, like, statistically, to acquire property during the Easter egg hunt than to acquire property any other time of the year. Well, and so, like, because people are trying to cover as much ground as they can, and, like, that they have legal access to. And so, sellers are making a lot more money if they sell property around Easter time.
Well, it doesn't you can prepare for this at any time of the year. Like you can like accumulate all your vacation time like throughout the year. Like you can do things throughout the year to prepare for this.
Supply and demand, Lindsay.
Well, okay. People wait
until the last minute. That's why things are overpriced around Christmas time.
You would expect there is 196.9 million square miles on Earth, and I'm assuming this is land. Here we go. That's acre. Anyway, all right. I'll just assume it's land. So 196.9 square miles, and so let's say there's one per like, which this isn't necessarily true, but let's say that like there is they're evenly distributed across that. So that leaves 19,690 square miles. Like you'd expect an egg at least every like 19,690 square miles, and so like in United States alone there's 3.8 million square miles, and so within the United States you would expect there to be 1, 2, 3.
I feel like while you're doing that, I feel like people take trespassing a lot less seriously, because like people are just gonna like be so tunnel visioned. It's going to be kind of like the Purge. It's going to be like, you're so focused on getting these eggs that they're just going to be like, oh, private property job pass. Like, I don't care. Like, I've got my own, like.
Or would they be more protective? Because it's like, don't you dare come on my land. Like, any of the eggs that are on my land are mine.
Well, I don't think so. Because, like, so if you put in that situation, there's one landowner and then infinite amount of people, not infinite, but many more people trying to get into that land to search it if they think there's something there. So like you really going to win out? Even like law enforcement are going to want to like check for it because they want the million-dollar egg.
So for perspective, there are about 2,000 estimated, assuming averages, 2,000 eggs in America. And so like, and they can be literally anywhere. I think, honestly, I would imagine that like almost, I don't even know if half of the eggs would be found. Like how many eggs do you think are found each year? Because like, let's say they put one inside my like box of ramen noodles that like are expired and so I haven't looked in that box in a while. Like I'm not gonna find that egg for many years.
Okay, maybe
until
maybe
I finally decide to throw that away.
Maybe we consider the like it's not indoors anywhere. It's never placed indoors. I'm not stating that. This is hypothetically. If we decide that, does that mean you're going to build a lot more buildings so it's a lot easier to find the eggs?
Yeah, like, so, like, in New York, like, the Central Park is just mobbed by so many people trying to get eggs. Because it's, honestly, that's your best bet of finding an egg, is going to a place like New York and going to, like, the single park.
Well, it might not end up in the park. It could end up on a, you know, a crane.
Yeah, it could end up anywhere. Like, the Easter Bunny is pretty crafty, so it could be literally anywhere. It could be attached to an apple on an apple tree.
It's inside an apple? Like,
no, because it can't be inside. Come on.
Silly me. So, like, it's not technically inside because there's, like, a small part of it exposed to outside air, and then you bite in an apple. There's just a million-dollar egg in there.
When at my first job, we had like a little Batman figurine that we would always hide. Like if you found it, you would hide it next. And the rule was you had to be able to see it from the like the middle of the room. So maybe that's it. Like you have to see it from a lot of like perspective. Like you can at least see part of it, not necessarily noticeable, but like if you really knew what you're looking for, you'd be able to see it.
I just keep coming back. Like one time, so my grandma, shout out to grandma who doesn't know what a podcast is, but we love her anyway. But she would always hide eggs for Brianna and I, and one time she hit like one of Brianna's eggs got hid for literally I think it was something like 5 years.
Oh wow.
Like we did not find this egg until 5 years later. And so
how did you distinguish which one's yours versus hers?
We would get different areas. So like mine would be in like the front yard or something and hers would be in the backyard. Because you certainly can't have like an all out brawl for Easter egg. That's a recipe for broken
relationships. That's what my grandmother does.
It's a recipe for,
separating cry all the time.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, so like, how many people do you think dedicate themselves to finding eggs? Cause like they're pretty rare.
The first year after like people are really realizing this is what's happening. Like I think the second year everyone's doing it.
I think Easter's definitely, it's already a national holiday.
So they just get hidden once a year and then they stay there. Like you don't have to find them on Easter.
No.
Okay.
Yeah, that's
Easter Bunny doesn't come back and collect them.
They broadcast it nationally, like internationally. So everyone's like, oh, I was so close. When he comes
that would be another.
It's like the Hunger Games, a cannon shoots off and it puts your face up.
I'm imagining there would be like news stories of it's like, oh, like Jimmy found an egg in like his backyard, and then everyone's just like, dang, I walked by Jimmy's backyard.
Yeah, exactly.
I could have gotten that egg. I think there's an international law that it's okay, like private property is no longer valid if you're searching for an Easter egg.
If you have like egg hunter, like
you have to be wearing ID. A hat that resembles an Easter egg. And if you are, like, private property does not apply.
You should have to wear Easter bunny ears.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, that makes more sense.
That would be, like, the same logic as being, like, hey, I found an oil well on your land. It is mine now.
But you had to be wearing an oil hat in order to be able to claim it.
You have to balance a bucket of oil on your head, and then you're allowed to claim anyone's oil.
But if a single drop falls out the entire time you're looking, you can't have it. I think there would be, like, teams, right? Because, so, like, in, like, I'm going to compare this to cryptocurrency, right? So, you have pools of people who, run the algorithms and whatnot to solve hashes for cryptocurrencies. And, because it's, like, you're basically just guessing numbers. And, it's rare for, like, one person to guess a number. So what they'll do is they'll pool together a bunch of people's computing power, and then, like, if one gets it, then everyone who's in the pool gets a cut. And so I think that, like, Easter egg pools would be formed of, it's like a community of Easter egg hunters, and if one of them finds the egg, then everyone gets a cut.
Yeah. Wait. I figured that's true. I think there were people grouping together.
What
for sure.
form does the money come in the egg?
I was thinking of that too. I was thinking, initially I thought maybe it's just like a golden egg.
It's just a card.
And oh, yeah, it's a Visa prepaid card. And it's got a million on it. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I was thinking, so, like, 10,000 eggs at $1 million a piece, that's $10 billion market cap, right?
Right.
I was trying to think if, like, that being, like, put into the economy each year, if that would, like, matter. But, like, honestly, I'm not sure it would change that.
Well,
much.
It's not like it's, you know, like, printing money. I mean, the Easter Bunny made this money doing an honest day's work.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. That's a good point. I forgot. That's all the revenue he raises from, like, Easter Bunny or chocolate bunny sales and, like, mm-hmm. Easter decorations. Yeah. Or actually, he's like, Easter Bunny inherited the greatest, like, fortune known to man, and he just distributes it every now and again. I think, because a million, so what, all right, what's the average salary in America? Pop quiz.
I'd say 45 to 50.
I'll say 40.
Okay, I'll tell, well, so I'll let you guys revise your guess. It's a lot lower than I was thinking, and you may do with that as you will.
Average amongst every single adult in America, or average amongst people who make a salary?
I assume it's everyone in America.
I'm gonna go 24.
Lindsay?
I said 36, I think.
31. But, okay, I'm gonna say 50, let's say you make $50,000 a year. So that is, it's like 2080. So that's $24 an hour. And so the question is how long could you spend searching for an egg? And, like, if you find it before this time, it's still better than the average. So how do I want to do this math? Daniel, help. Or math guy, help.
Fermi estimate.
Live math. No, shut up. so it'd be hours times 24 equals a million, right? And so just a million divided by 24. I think that makes sense. So as long as you find an Easter egg within 41,666 hours, you are making, like,
making a salary.
Thank you.
Average salary.
Yeah. Average salary. Yeah, yeah. And let's see, how many working days is that? We got 41, 23, 8. So if you, holy crap. So if you find it within 5,208 work days, if you were to find it within that, and how many work days in a year? We're going down a work
Wait.
260 working days. I already knew that. I should have known. Okay, so if you find one Easter egg within 20 years, that is equivalent to a $50,000 salary.
Yeah. Yeah, wait, no. How many hours did you say for you to be making an average salary?
41,666.
No, I think that's wrong, because I think you divide by the salary and then multiply that by 365 and then 24. So you actually have to find one within, almost 300,000 hours. That doesn't seem right. Hold up. 1 million divided by 31.
Well, you could just...
32 years.
Yeah, no, that does... I don't know what I was...
But wait, I think you're...
I think what I did made sense.
Yeah. Yeah, 20 years is 50K.
Yeah. No, because I was thinking about... The more I thought about it, I was like, why didn't I just divide a million by, 50,000?
But I feel like... I mean, what percentage of these are even getting found in a year?
I asked that question earlier. I think, 50%. I think only half are being found every year.
I think some people, people who have similar to people who have gambling problems, think oh, I'm going to get it next time type thing. They keep going, they keep searching because they're so hell bent on the idea that they're going to get it, even though it's proven that it's very difficult.
I want to see this world in 100 years, right? There are literally thousands of eggs out there that have not been found, and because it's been so long, some are buried 2 feet underground from erosion, or a tree grew around them, and so it's just inside it. I think that would be so interesting. There are so many there's some. I guarantee you, some organization would be formed in this world that keeps track of how many unfound eggs there are, and you just wait until that's over a certain point, and then you really start searching.
Yeah. I wonder
what if just one pops in the desert, right? Basically instantly would get covered by sand, and then it's just never found again.
Yeah, just depends on how generous the Easter Bunny's feeling.
The Easter Bunny has to get to wherever it's hiding them. So unless it's airdropping them from a helicopter,
Easter Bunny has magic powers.
Bunny can do whatever he wants.
Yeah. <That's true. laughs> I had another thought. Someone else say something.
Do you think if someone was traveling through the desert on Christmas Day, that Santa would still deliver a present to him?
Well, there's no chimney to go down, so no.
I feel like all of us, the pro athletes, would be changing their career to this. They're using their skills to...
Yeah, how does this change?
All their off time is spent just running, but it's specifically searching.
I wonder if the egg is detectable by anything.
I was thinking, if it's a golden egg, then it's metal detector or something. Mm-hmm.
The thing is that any pro athlete is going to make more money doing their sport likely than they would by finding the egg.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah.
But it's a whole new, branch of pro sports.
Do you think the egg could be taxed? I think it's tax-free.
I mean, if it's provided by someone like Santa Claus or the Tooth Fairy or something, yeah, of course it's going to be tax-free.
Yeah, it's just not taxable income.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, you just have a Visa card with $1 million on it. That's not traceable back to
you. I would honestly hate that. I hate prepaid cards that I don't hate them. But just in recent years, they've become less and less useful just because so many websites are I can tell that's a prepaid card. I do not want to take it. As far as I'm concerned, that is fake money.
Really? I have never had that problem. Of course, I've only ever used it on Amazon. I have a prepaid card, basically.
Some websites do better than others, but Oh man, I'm so annoyed. It was such a good thought too. Movie industry, they gonna be affected?
Well, I mean, that's a whole new range of topics that you can cover. It's got this whole romanticism about it, the egg hunt. I feel like there's a series of movies,
an entire genre.
Like, you have a Pirates of the Caribbean style movie about the Easter egg hunters, and then you also have, like, you know, you've got the National Treasures of Easter egg hunting, and then you also have the Purge movies of Easter egg hunting, where you can get away with anything if you have an Easter egg basket on your head.
Or I would actually love to see the movie where the guy's got a literal basket of Easter eggs, and it's just an all-out, it's like the movie where the everyone's chasing them and like killing people, and it's like, we need to get that basket. That would be a great movie.
I feel like all these terms are making me think of Ready Player One, because there's like egg hunters or whatever.
There's a new Book of Eli movie, but it's about a guy transporting an Easter egg to the West Coast.
Yeah, but it turns out he was spoiler alert, turns out he was blind the entire time and he can smell Easter eggs.
So,
wow.
So how do you like? So is it for sure a prepaid card or ever a Visa gift card?
Sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Sweet.
Well, it depends. If it like ends up, you know, somewhere where they don't use like cash or cards, you know, somewhere like if there's a tribe out there somewhere, if they find an Easter egg, it's, you know, whatever they use as trading currency. An equivalent value in
bananas. I think it'd be, so Amazon has a service that you can like take prepaid cards and load them to your Amazon account. Just, I wonder if they still allow that. Can I load my $1 million prepaid card to Amazon?
I don't know. Amazon might be able to benefit.
If you, you're just giving them like, hey, we're gonna use $1 million of your stuff at some point. I mean, I would rather just have the Visa card, but I guess the Amazon account kind of like guarantees it until you get hacked.
Would the Easter Bunny or would the Easter Bunny sponsor Amazon, or would Amazon sponsor the Easter Bunny?
The Easter Bunny doesn't need a sponsor. The Easter Bunny is self-made.
Okay, Amazon.
Jeff Bezos is nothing compared to the Easter Bunny.
Okay,
the Easter Bunny can just drop $10 billion a year. Just like, here, literally, you guys have this.
Okay.
The Easter Bunny could buy out Jeff Bezos, Elon Musk, and Bill Gates all in one payment,
one fell swoop.
Using his black card, the no limit,
the Easter card.
The Easter card, it's just got it's Easter egg shaped, and it makes it really hard for like the classic magnetic strip card readers, just because you have to be like rotating it the entire time. But
you actually really put it on a CD-ROM drive.
Yep, makes sense to me. Well, any final thoughts on Easter eggs? All right, final thought. How long are you devoting to Easter egg hunting? I'm thinking, so like Easter itself, obviously I'm going out, and I think maybe like once a week I'd spend like an hour searching just for fun.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like it could be a Pokemon Go type thing. You just go out with your friends and you look for an Easter egg.
Yeah. That would ruin friendships. Can you imagine finding an Easter egg? Or it's like, who saw it first or something?
Oh, no. There's four of us searching for an Easter egg together, and I have to split $1 million tax-free dollars for... Oh, wait, it's a Visa card.
But that's the thing. It's like, it's they'd be like, no, I saw it first. You weren't even looking here. I want the $1 million.
No, okay, well, you have to agree to split it beforehand.
Okay, but even if you do that, I feel like you just pocket the Easter egg, and you're like, dang, we didn't find it.
All right, well, I'm never taking you on my Easter egg hunt.
You say that when the... Oh, whatever.
Daniel, you and I can tag team it.
Yeah, well, me and Lindsay will split.
The math guys.
Mm. Yeah. You know us.
You provided no help during the math segment of this podcast.
I stripped the title away from you. I wanted you to have a moment to shine.
Trial by mathematics, and Lindsay came out on top.
Right.
Speaking of being on top, this next company is about to shoot up the S&P 500. This is a huge breakthrough in technology. They're our sponsor today. You know, they could use some work on their company title. They're Scratch and Sniff Text Messages. Currently only on iOS, working with Android for some kind of firmware update to accommodate their abilities. But have you ever wanted to, like, share your full restaurant experience, but the picture of your food to Instagram wasn't quite doing it? Well, now you can send the smell of the restaurant and your food through text message, and the other person simply has to scratch on their screen, and they'll be able to engage with the odors along with you. I've gotten, we all received a free copy of this app, and it's been changing things. I can now more effectively communicate with people. You can engage in the senses around you more, even if someone's not there with you. What have you guys thought about the app?
Well, so they did tell us to give our honest opinions, and I will say I am a little annoyed that I have begun to scratch a hole in my screensaver. There is a noticeable dent, but otherwise, I'm very happy with it. It's really nice to just be able to know what things smell like, too. Because you know what they say, like 90% of communication is nonverbal. Part of that is scent. And so you don't really understand what someone meant in a text unless you can smell it.
Yeah, which honestly has ended a lot of has brought me to the point of ending a lot of my conversations with people, because they sent me messages that reeked of BO that I thought I was able to escape before. So I've been able to carefully select my friends more so, all thanks to Scratch and Sniff text messages.
Yep. You've heard the reviews here first. Pick up a copy for yourself. I guarantee you will love it even more than you imagine you will right now. Use code WeBombasticPU for 20% off on the App Store. And now for segment C. And as we all know, C is for Easter riddles. Now, we have a series of Easter-themed riddles from riddlesandanswers.com. And I'm going to be delivering the riddles, and we're going to see if Brent and Lindsay can solve these riddles.
Okay, and I will. There are less riddles and more like Laffy Taffy jokes, but I don't suppose you happen to vet this list at all, because I did look at like the first two, and like I don't have high hopes for us, but
I do
give it our best shot.
Hopes. All right. Okay. So if you looked at the first few, let me scroll down a bit.
It right. was like the first two or something.
How does the Easter Bunny throw a tantrum?
All right, so all of the, like, almost all these type of things have to do with puns, right? And so so you have, like,
he egg. Exaggerates.
Hair is a big one, because, like, a rabbit hair. There was a tantrum. He pulls his hair.
He Maybe. Gets hopping mad.
Dang it. Okay.
All right. Where does an Easter bunny go if you give it a pair of socks?
Socks. I'm waiting for the answer that's Easter Island, but that one doesn't feel like it super applies in this scenario. Socks. Feet. Lucky rabbit feet. Wouldn't be hop again.
Where does it go when you give it socks?
Yeah.
Easter Island.
gosh.
Anything.
I'm thinking.
Dave and Buster's.
Like, I'm trying to go like sneakers or something like that.
I don't think you're gonna Ooh. Get it.
Okay, just give it to me. Give it to me.
A sock hop.
Oh my gosh. Hop was involved. Curses.
Gosh, I should have that one.
Why shouldn't you tell an Easter egg a joke?
Crack up. They'll crack up. Crack.
It might crack up.
Good lord. Daniel's enjoying this too much.
Why is the Liberty Bell like a dropped Easter egg?
Because it's cracked. There's a crack.
Yeah, that one was a gimme. Hold on.
I've been to that. Lindsay and I have both been to the Liberty Bell.
Indeed.
What? I have not. Never it's been cracked. To Philly. Really? Is it?
Yeah.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
Yep.
What is the difference between Sauron and the Easter Bunny?
Oh, gosh.
Seeing all the evil.
No idea. Sauron and the Easter Bunny?
No idea.
Nobody knows. No one has seen either one.
Interesting.
Right.
How does Easter end?
Sunset, egg set. The clock strikes midnight. Easter clock.
It ends with an R.
Ah, dang it. They change from the type of humor of each of them change. It feels so drastically between each one.
How does the Easter Bunny stay fit?
Hopping. Final answer.
It exercises.
Thank you, Lindsay.
Dang it.
I can't believe you, Red.
Disappointed.
What happened when the Easter Bunny met the rabbit of his dreams?
They egg-loped. Egg-loped.
All right, that was on the right trail. Lindsay, what's your guess?
They got egg-engaged or something?
I guess that was misleading. Egg. They lived happily ever after.
Oh, I like ours better.
I don't. I think
egg-gauged is pretty
all
good.
Hop. I want something new.
Egg-loped?
That was good, Brent.
Egg-loped is not
that.
Better. It's good, but it's not better.
No, Brent's was better. What are you talking about?
What kind of jewelry does the Easter Bunny wear?
Hop. Gold.
Hop.
Necklace. Like, necklace,
yeah,
but
yeah,
with an
eye. I got
what
it.
You were saying.
I caught the pun.
I think that's the best I got.
Hold on, give me a second.
Egg rings. It's an earring and egg. No,
it's probably something dumb like
necklace.
None. It's a bunny.
That's you're all wrong. Good. It wears 14 carat gold.
Oh my god! I thought of carat, and I was like, carat's not a jewelry. Ah.
What's the Easter Bunny's favorite sport?
Hopping. probably pole vaulting or something. Or
pole vaulting. Pole leg vaulting.
Yeah. Poland egg. The Egg Olympics. horse carrot.
Basketball.
Oh my, I was getting there. I was so close.
Yeah, you totally had that
with
one.
Horse carrot. I was literally right there.
All right, hold on. I just realized if I don't click show the answer, I could also be doing this. But I think Brent's seen this one. Where does the Easter Bunny get his eggs?
The egg store.
From eggplants.
Yes, from an eggplant.
thank you. I'll be here all week.
Wait, is that the actual answer?
That is the actual answer.
Of course.
Are you serious?
Lindsay is the riddle master.
I was completely joking. What?
That's how you need to be thinking, I guess. What kind of jokes do eggs tell?
That's gonna crack you up. Excellent jokes.
No. Wait, what?
Yolks. Oh, egg yolks. I did read this one. I cheated.
Yeah. Egg yolks. Was that just like a J is pronounced like Y thing?
I think yolk is close enough to joke that it satisfies sure. their criteria to be a punchline to a riddle. Quote unquote.
Oh, I know. I already know this one. When does Valentine's Day come after Easter?
I also looked at this one, so I want
to. Or where does Hint? Valentine's Day come after Easter?
Egg. I'm just kidding. That's a terrible. Will not help you.
Every year, I don't know.
One, look at a calendar. Two, the dictionary.
Interesting.
How does the Easter Bunny travel so fast?
I also looked at you picked that. Now the three ones I did look at. Hint, egg. Egg hint will not help you.
How does the Easter Bunny travel so fast?
On his eggmobile.
He hops into a wormhole.
Yep. Just kidding, it's a hair plane.
A private hair plane. Ha 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 ha. Well, that is all of them on the website.
That, wait, it's her second like page? 30 plus.
Wait. Well, we did quite a few.
We did. Oh, there is a second page.
Wait, let's I clicked it and the screen just got blurry.
Okay, I got them. I got them. We'll do three more. What does the Easter Bunny get for making a basket? 39. Oh man, we should have been giving the solve ratio. 39% solved.
An get for extra making a point.
Wooden
salary.
It's a carrot. Easter Island.
Hopping mad.
Two points, just like anyone else.
Oh my gosh. Oh,
okay.
All right. 43% solved. Why was the Easter Bunny so upset? He was. Oh, this one has a hint. We won't get the hint yet, though. He was hopping mad. Wasn't that the answer to one of them?
Yeah.
Oh, wait. Is it? Oh, no. This. Oh, okay. This is pretty good.
Why was the Easter Bunny so upset?
So your hint is the same reason a lot of women get upset. Sexist much?
Sexism.
Correct. It's third way egganism. He was having a bad hair day.
Interesting.
Okay.
Weak.
let me look for the one with the lowest solve rate. All right. 34%. What do you call a bunny with a large brain? Egghead.
Final click answer. It. Is egghead it?
I don't know. Do you guys want to guess? When I obviously have the answer.
Well, tell us if you
Daniel,
have the answer.
Daniel, what do you think about
egghead? I have the answer. I'm so smart. Okay, we'll do another one because I'm too smart.
Mm-hmm.
This one's also 34%. What do you get when you cross a rabbit with an oyster? A clam.
Bungee cord.
What?
Okay. A bungeg cord.
A pearl hair pearl. A clam.
So wait, what was it? Clam. Easter bunny.
Cross
a
rabbit with an oyster.
A rabbit with an oyster.
Muscle.
Pearly rabbit? Egg whites.
I mean.
I have no idea.
It is an oyster bunny. And with that,
oh good lord,
that's the Easter special. That one's so good.
I think Laffy Taffy jokes is quite the compliment for these jokes.
I will say, I love the trying to guess what like the punchline to a Laffy Taffy joke is.
Mm-hmm.
Very fun.
Yeah.
What's next, Daniel?
I'm could it be the getting there. No, it's segment D. D is for Daniel giving the conclusion. Thank you for listening, everybody. Like, comment, subscribe, follow, do all the stuff. Or if you don't feel like it, don't, but maybe still do. Would be appreciated. Final thoughts? Anyone?
Shout out to the people I brought this up to last night that said that they're going to listen to it.
Shout out to Brent's mom. Some clerical work here. So this is Easter special, season finale, season four. You made it. That's the end. We are going to be taking a small break, famous last words, and for schools and works and whatnot, trips and things
Brent
happening.
Is graduating, so round of applause for him.
Can I actually get a round of applause, please?
Maybe.
Yay, I'll take it.
And then I am moving into an apartment and going on a business trip to Seattle. And Daniel is just being a Daniel. No, he's also moving, I believe.
I'll probably be moving after we start back up, but I'll be going on like a couple different trips.
Can we give an ETA on us returning for our lovely listeners?
That's a great question as we live pull up a calendar and try and figure stuff
out. I'd say first month of May works for me.
The first month of May sounds good to me. I think I can manage the first month of May.
Daniel,
first month of May should work for me.
I want to say guaranteed by, so like I graduate the second week of May, and so I think like third week definitely get an episode.
Okay. So
at the latest,
by the end of
maybe
May, we'll
early.
Be back. Daniel, confirm.
Yeah. Yeah, first month.
Of certainly May. By the end of May.
Yeah, also by the end of the first month of May. Words. Yes.
Yeah. So check your sources the first month of May, and make sure that you're still listening to us because you guys have been doing great. As I've said the past couple episodes, we get very consistent listens. We greatly appreciate it. And thank you so much for listening to this season. Another thing, we basically halfway through this season, we tried mini Qualgrithm instead of a segment A for basically the entire season. Let us know if you hated that, or if you want to see it in the future seasons. If we don't hear anything, we're probably going to keep it. So
it makes our lives so much easier.
Yeah.
We still have not received a first suggestion for hypothetical. We will take anything.
Exactly. So the promise made last episode, which is still valid, the very first suggestion for a hypothetical tweeted to us, so long as it's not inappropriate, we will do no questions asked, guaranteed in an episode.
If you have an idea, think to yourself, would Brent's mom be accepting of this? Would
correct.
She be of support?
That is
of
our
this?
Criteria. And so, and Will Smith, we still want you on the podcast, so if you know Will Smith, get in contact, and we would love to have him as a guest.
Yeah. But we won't talk about anything.
We'll really, be very cordial.
Yeah, no, we won't talk about anything.
It will be silent. But we'll title it Will Smith finally came to the podcast, and then it's just an hour of silence. And
so it's like, so the weather, they were just shh.
And my final thought is Happy Easter.
Happy Easter. Happy this Easter. Is dropping on Easter.
Yeah, if you listen to this on Easter, you have your priorities straight.
Yeah. For sure. Family's nice and all, but podcast is
forever.
Yeah. It's 300 years.
But you still have 298 to go, so
it still lasts longer than any of your family, so.
Exactly, they're all gonna die way before 298 years from now,
so sit on that one for a while.
Uh-huh.
And
share that at the Easter dinner table,
and have a bombastic week, and we'll see you next time.